You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
This is the Rocket, Bill Latson. Welcome to the Newsmakers. We have a lot going on today. We have former Cubs hero David Ross. We also turn to Richard Justice, who gives us the latest news in the world of baseball. Twins second baseman Brian Dozier talks about the Twins being in wild card contention. Tommy Pham explains why he is the MVP of the Cardinals. I also visited the Orioles, and I had great conversations with Manny Machado and Jonathan Scope. We start with David Ross, who is enjoying life in the broadcast booth. On the phone is ESPN analyst David Ross, also one of the best backup catchers ever in baseball. David, listen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me, and thanks for that big compliment.
David, you know, I've watched you on TV, and I got to tell you, you are a natural in the booth. And my question to you is, how much fun are you having in the booth?
Oh, man, thank you so much. I'm having a blast. It's so much fun to, I was just telling somebody yesterday, it's, you know, you stress out before, are you prepared, are you, do you have all the information right? Have I got all the guys' names right? You know, there's so many. You're learning all these different 30 teams and the ins and outs of either the bullpen or the bench guys and paying attention to baseball so much. But when I get up there, it's so much fun. I feel like I'm back in the game, explaining the game on the bench or talking to the fans in the way you would maybe a fellow player. It's just a lot of fun. And I got to give a lot of credit to the guys that are there in the booth with me. I mean, Aaron Boone has helped me out a ton. John Chimey, Rick Sutcliffe. I mean, everybody I do the games with are super awesome to work with and really make it really easy for a guy like me who just come off the field to feel at home up there.
What was the biggest thing you had to learn in the booth, you know, compared to being on the field?
Well, one is, like I said, that, you know, you got to learn Seattle's bullpen and you got to learn, you know, teams that you didn't normally pay attention to being in the National League or the other leagues, guys and the detailed guys, like I said, the bench guys. But also, you know, separating yourself a little bit from being a player. And, you know, I call guys by nicknames if I know them or little things like that. And the fans may not know their nicknames. So that was a little bit of a challenge at first. But it's, you know, it's one of those things, the more reps you get, the better you get at it.
I know you're doing well off the field, but is it weird not playing in the game? You just played last year and you won a World Series at that. Is it weird?
I wouldn't say weird. No, I miss small parts. I miss the camaraderie of the group, the guys, but being a part of the Baseball Tonight team at ESPN has helped that a lot. They're a great group of guys. And you know, I miss competing at a high level. You know, I think we all love to compete at a certain level. And when you've competed at the highest level, you miss that a little bit. But I don't really miss playing that much. I wasn't a great player, so I don't miss the stress of striking out and trying to figure out your swing and the grind of an MLB season. You know, I don't miss those things. I'm getting more time with my family, being home, and get to dive into that side of things. So, you know, I miss a little bit of it, but not an extreme change like you would think.
You know, as I watched you play, and believe me, I thought you were a productive player. When you left the game, it looked like you had some years in the tank. And obviously family was more important, obviously. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's first and foremost for me. And you know, for me, it got to be a decision of, you know, who are you? And I want to be known as a family man. Family is very important to me. And I got to play Major League Baseball a lot longer than I ever would have dreamed or imagined and had some great things happen to me. And winning two World Series with two great organizations and meeting a lot of great people on the way and learning great lessons about baseball and what that's like. But at the end of the day, I just saw my kids are growing up. I have a 10-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son, and a 2-year-old at home daughter. And, you know, I just saw how fast time was flying and they're starting to get into things at home that I want to be a part of and help out and help influence them in certain ways. And, you know, it just time's flying by. And again, I don't want to be that selfish guy who continues to hang around. I'll tell you a quick story. Scott Hatterberg told me a long time ago is there's three types of guys in the game. There's the guys who it's kind of like the guy who goes to a party. There's a guy that leaves early and doesn't get to be a part of all the fun. And a guy that leaves at the right time when it's time to go. And then there's that nuisance guy that everybody doesn't like, that hangs around the party too long. And I didn't want to be that guy either.
Wow. You played with the Cubs last year. What do you think about them this year? They're hot lately. And what do you think?
Well, I think, yeah, they're coming around. I think the hangover is a real thing. I think, the intensity of the postseason, especially going all the way to game seven, and the quick turnaround is a real thing. And taking your focus, I think it's definitely mental, along with some physicality, maybe on some pitchers and the wear and tear. But it's no surprise that the two teams in the World Series last year are playing their best baseball in the second half. And I think the All-Star break had a great impact on rejuvenating the Cubs and our front office still making moves and saying we believe in this team. And you're seeing the offense come around. I mean, one of the best offensives in baseball in the second half, I think, right behind Cleveland. So there's a lot of positives to that. Kyle Hendricks is pitching better. Jake Arrieta was pitching better in the second half. If he's healthy and that hamstring coming back, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the postseason.
What other teams are intriguing to you right now?
I love the Houston Astros. Obviously, Cleveland is intriguing to everybody, but the Houston Astros, with the addition of Justin Verlander and getting Correa back at short, they've got back to playing their type of baseball. I like the Twins that are coming. I know they're struggling against the Yankees this series, but everybody expected them to go away and the Brewers to go away, and they haven't really. They've stayed right there in the race, and even though it's that second wild card for the Twins and the Brewers right there on the heels of that, it's been fun to see new teams emerge. And I'm really, secretly pulling for the Diamondbacks. I love Torrey Lovello and our time in Boston. He's a real influence on that team, and I think Paul Goldschmidt has been one of the better under the radar players for a long time, and I got him winning the MVP for the National League, and what he's doing for that team. It's a fun team to watch.
Now, you are a valuable teammate. Jason Hayward told me about this several weeks ago. Could you tell me what made you a valuable teammate and people who love you? What made you valuable?
Oh, man. That's a great compliment again. Thanks. I don't know that I was any different than many people. I just, I was able at the end of my career to learn some great lessons, some hard lessons that early on in my career of being more of a selfish player and worrying about the wrong things and learning some hard lessons. And so as my career went on and saw what it was like being around certain players like Brian McCann and a manager like Bobby Cox and just learning some lessons about what a good teammate looks like and how to communicate and lift guys up. And this game's so negative, it's easy to be negative. It's hard to be positive sometimes. So if you can deliver a message and communicate the right way and be observant of others and try to help out when maybe you're able to not play like I, being a bench player was able to do, then you try to impart your wisdom or your experiences on some other guys in a positive way and try to help out. That's all. I think if you're focused on winning and winning's the ultimate goal, you're there to help everybody and help everybody be the best they can and succeed.
You want to talk about your book that's out in stores?
It's the same kind of thing, just a lot of life lessons. And it's called Teammate. And so it's about, I got a lot of credit for being this great teammate. And it was a lot of examples other guys showed me and some hard lessons. So I think if people want to learn about, maybe not being the superstar player and going that route of being a team player and there is success for everybody in being a team player and finding your role and doing the best of your ability to help others, I think that applies to a lot of aspects in life. So that's kind of what it's about. I'm really, really proud of the book. It's done great.
David Ross, listen, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a blast, and we hope to talk to you soon.
No, Bill, thanks for having me on anytime, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
My next guest is MLB.com's Richard Justice, and he explains why the Milwaukee Brewers are still in the wild card race.
On the phone is one of the best baseball writers in America. His name is Richard Justice. He's a columnist for MLB.com. Richard, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Richard, the Milwaukee Brewers will not go away. For a moment, we thought the Colorado Rockies and the Diamondbacks were going to be in the wild card. Now, you know, as we record this, Milwaukee is only a game behind Colorado. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's the quickest rebuilding ever, you know, since they Mark Antanasio brought David Stearns in and told him, do what you have to do to, you know, follow the Astros model. And he did some of that. And he got rid of a lot of guys, and he acquired a lot of talent. But it's been the fastest rebuild in history. And when you look back at the keys, they had pitching in their system. Chase Anderson's pretty good. This kid Brett Sutter from Harvard is pretty good. Jimmy Nelson is hurt now, but he's been pretty good. And then you look, they go out and get corner infielders. Eric Thames from Korea,
right,
and Travis Shaw from the Red Sox. And guys like Ryan Braun, guys like Brett Phillips that they got have been all been good. You know, and I think the key is, and then the one thing that they did is they just kept at it. They added this, they're underrated deals. David made four deals. He added Anthony Swarzak to the bullpen, and so he connected with Knebel to give him a great eighth and ninth inning. They get Jeremy Jeffress back from the Rangers. He's been great. You know, and getting veteran guys like Stephen Vaught and Neil Walker. So, you know, as you look going down the stretch here, they're pretty good. I'll say this, Bill, back in spring training when we were all thinking, you know, another year or two, whatever, they've still got a lot of work to do. The Brewers thought they were good. And
yes.
I remember Mark Antanasio, the team owner, held a meeting and said, we're close, guys. Let's don't screw this up. So, and you know what it's done? It's shown a light on one of the great baseball towns in this country, Milwaukee. I think this is going to be the eighth time in 9 years they've drawn 2.5, and people there love their hardball.
The Minnesota Twins, you know, they have a you know, okay lead, but they're not blowing people away. And, you know, what do you think about them? Do they have a chance?
No, it's a weird – if they get in, it'll be the weirdest path to the postseason maybe ever because, you know, they stripped it down and started – trading guys away, traded Jaime Garcia, traded Brandon Kinsler, their closer. And they're just throwing kids out there now. Byron Buxton has emerged as, you know, for a while there, for a couple of years, he was the number one prospect in baseball. He's been playing like it since the All-Star break. And for people who see him, it's one of the most amazing things you can see is to see his impact on the bases and on center field. I mean, he can turn a ball in the gap into a triple like crazy. You know, so they're doing this without Miguel Sano, but Polanco is a really, really good player. Irvin Santana was their only starter, but this kid Berrios has been good.
Yes.
Kyle Gibson has been good. Matt Belisle has fallen into the closer role. So, you know, they're not a perfect team, Bill, but there are not any perfect teams right now.
No question. The good news for the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman seems to be back in line. How big is that for the Yankees?
Yeah, you don't want to play them right now, you know, because they got Severino at the top of the rotation, and he looks like the guy that's going to finish third in the American League Cy Young voting behind Kluber and Sale. And then, like you said, to have Chapman and Betances and Robertson lined up. So now you get into the postseason, you know, it's a 5 or 6 inning game anyway. And if they by some chance could get Adam Warren, I think they're going to get him back. Then Joe Girardi's got a lot of weapons to deal with. And so they're the real deal. I mean, they are a risk. I mean, they are a threat to play a long time in October.
Yeah, I mean, with that bullpen, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what the postseason is. It's postseason becomes a bullpen game. You get 5 innings out of your starters, and they're going to get more than that out of Severino. You know, who knows what Tanaka can give them. Sabathia's been up and down. Like we said, they're good enough to play for a while.
I got to ask you this about Sabathia. I saw something yesterday. I was at the game yesterday between the Twins and the Yankees. In the first inning, I saw the Twins bunting on Sabathia like it was like nobody's business, because, you know, Sabathia's not good at fielding bunts and everything. Obviously, he has the leg injury too. Right. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about the ethics of them doing
yes,
that?
Yes, correct.
Well, you're in a pennant race. You're just doing what you have to do. You know, I mean, I'd rather them bunt against Sabathia than bunt against the shift, because that sort of, to me, that defeats the purpose. It depends on who it is. I think for the most part, as a team, you want your guys swinging the bat. I don't want Joe Mauer bunting. I don't want Brian Dozier bunting.
Right.
I want those guys hitting the ball in the gap.
Right.
So, you know, from an ethics standpoint, I don't have any problem with it. They're testing the guy, and, you know, every part of your game is vulnerable when you go up there. You know, it's the same way that if he sees a guy leaning in over the plate, he's going to reestablish that part of the plate. So I think there's some gamesmanship to that, but, you know, hasn't worked yet.
No. The Cleveland Indians, you know, they're fighting for the best record. And, you know, to me, it's amazing they're doing it without Michael Brantley. And I have
right.
to say, you know, I think Tito Francona has got to be the MVP of this team, because somehow you look at that roster. Now, yes, they have some great players, but you look at that roster, you say to yourself, how are they doing it? And I think Tito Francona is a genius.
Yeah, he's, you know, guy's going to the Hall of Fame, and he had a Hall of Fame resume before he ever got to Cleveland. If
no
he
question.
Wins another one,
no question.
He's going to have a slam dunk. I say this, though, they're pretty good right now, you know, and one of the things he was able to do, people don't know the story, when he first got to Cleveland, he had the wall removed between his office and the clubhouse. There's a window there now. He plays cards with his guys, open door policy, and he has that line, like, I'm your friend, but I'm your boss, too. And there's such a decency about Tito. Everybody likes him. They want to please him. And what he, you know, and things like, okay, you get Andrew Miller, how are you going to use him? Well, he turned him into a super weapon. Now, Jason Kipnis is coming back. Well, he's not going to play second now. I mean, Ramirez has become Superman.
Right.
And somehow we're going to play him in the outfield. We're going to do what we have to do. I'll say this, though. They're a good team now. I mean, Ramirez is going to be top three probably in the AL MVP voting. Lindor is just one of the most entertaining players to watch. You know, and guys like Carlos Santana's got, what, 36 doubles and 23 homers. And then you look at the rotation, even behind Kluber, Bauer has emerged. Clevinger has emerged. Carrasco is really good. And they get a lead, you know, they get a lead in the sixth inning. Then you're looking at Miller, Allen, and Shaw, and forget about it.
Right. Also, you know, the Cubs are red hot right now. And is this a big deal that they're ending the season somewhat on a hot note? What do you think?
Yeah, I think baseball people would always tell you. In fact, Jim Leland always said it. Don't tell me who had the best record or won the most games. Just tell me who's healthy the end of September and tell me who's playing well. And so tonight's a big night. They're going to get Arrieta back, or is it Thursday? Thursday they're going to get Arrieta back.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the big deal for them, because they kind of got everything going the way they want it. And those kids, Baez and Schwarber and all, they've come through the ups and downs the season after. You know, we knew the season after the season wasn't going to be that easy. But people kept telling me, like I don't know. They may not be able to hold off the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Pirates, whoever. And they said, no. It's so deep, and the management has enough pieces. If they need to go get a Quintana, they'll go get a Quintana. That they're going to be able to hold off. And so we're going to have a Cubs-Nationals series, it looks like. And, you know, that's going to be, you know, get your popcorn. That's going to be great baseball.
Yes, it is. And last thing, Richard, you know, we haven't talked about this much, but obviously after the season ends, some managers have to be let go. Who do you see leaving?
Well, I think given what's going on in Detroit, that I don't know what Brad Ausmus's job security is. You got the general manager, Al Avila, did not hire him. They're in a full rebuild mode. So I would think that will be an issue. You know, other than that, I think it's the annual debate about, do they keep Terry Collins with the Mets? Sandy Alderson is pretty immovable about, when we analyze our problems, let's don't make up problems. Terry's not the problem. The problem is we couldn't keep our pitchers on the field. And the other guy is John Gibbons in Toronto. He was not hired by that regime. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at some tough decisions, too, going forward. I mean, they're going to have to be major changes there. And I don't know how they feel about him. I would think, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. I would think everybody else appears to me to be safe.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Richard, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Brian Dozier is my next guest. And let me tell you, he is happy that he's playing meaningful games in September. Brian Dozier, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell me what it's like to play meaningful games in September. It's got to feel good.
Well, yeah, everything is for only the second time in my career, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. We've played meaningful games. It's what you play for. Usually this time of year, especially last year, you're counting down the days where I can go home to Mississippi. But now that's not even the thought process. The fact that, I don't know, you're in the race and you have a chance to get in the postseason. It's what you play for. It's a lot of fun.
If the season ended today, you guys would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
What do you guys got to do the rest of the way to make sure you get in?
Well, you don't want to ever get ahead of yourself. This team's very resilient. We've lost the past couple of games, but we're always a team that kind of bounces back and gets back on the winning track very quickly. Hopefully we can change that today, but I guess for the next 12 games, you don't really change anything. If anything, you try to take it up a notch, so to speak, running more balls out as hard as you possibly can and make sure you do the little things right. And because we got a few good teams left that we got to play, but keep doing what we're doing.
The one thing I noticed about this team, I mean, such a positive attitude. You guys play hard no matter what. That's the one thing I took out of the last two games, even though you guys lost. And I mean, talk about the spirit you guys have.
Well, I think it just shows you that this team isn't just built on talent. We're a very talented group, but also at the same time, we like to have fun, number one. Nothing really fazes us, number two. I don't know, and I just think we play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And we have a young core mixed in with a few older veterans, and when you mix those two together, it can be dangerous, and it has been so far.
The one thing I noticed is that once you guys traded Brandon Kinsler and Jaime Garcia,
yeah.
Everyone, including myself, thought you guys were out of it.
Yeah.
But you guys didn't think so. Why?
Well, you know, losing, you know, especially Kinsler. Jaime was just forced to that one start or whatever. But I think inside the locker room it kind of hit us all pretty hard, I guess. You always hate to lose a brother, especially an all-star closer that you want to anchor down the back end of that bullpen. But, you know, I think after a couple of days we came to the realization that even though we definitely could use him, you got to move on and you got to be quick to turn the page. And it took us a few days to get over that. But when we did, I felt like the fact that everyone said, hey, we're still a really good team. You just got to keep playing. Maybe just score enough runs so you wouldn't have to have a Kinsler in the back. But I think the biggest thing is a lot of people like Matt Belisle, Trevin Hildenberger, Busnitz, Taylor Rogers, those guys have really stepped up to kind of fill the void, I guess, so to speak, in losing Kinsler.
The one thing I also noticed, too, another solid season for you. Tell me, how do you feel about your season?
Yeah, you know what? I, to be honest with you, I don't really like to ever talk about the a season as a an individual thing, so to speak. I've been around long enough now that I've had some really good years and been on the worst team in baseball, and then some average years and done pretty well as a team, and I'll take that every single time. So, you know, once you buy into the fact that you don't, and I feel like this is why this team is so good, that you buy into the fact that you don't really care how you do as an individual, as long as you do everything to try to win a game that day. Stats take care of yourself. They'll be there at the end of the year. So.
Talk about the job Paul Molitor has done.
Yeah, he well, it just goes to show you, being the worst team in baseball last year to one of the better ones this year, have a chance to make the playoffs, you got to have a leader, not only in this clubhouse, which we do, but, you know, at the top of your organization day in and day out, like Molly. He's been around. He knows how to win. He's been to World Series. He's been to the playoffs numerous times. But him as a manager, how he's embraced the fact of really teaching a lot of guys a lot of different things that we had to overcome from last year to get where we are this year, it speaks volumes.
What did it say? You guys really weren't down from last year. I mean, why did you decide to be positive this entire team?
Well, you look at our roster, and it's a very, very talented roster. And credit to our front office and not doing much this offseason, because they even publicly stated numerous amounts of times that they don't see how this team could lose 103 games. And that's very true, because we got away from a lot of fundamental aspects of the game that cost us, I mean, upward probably 20-something games last year. And once we set on a mission in spring training to clean all that stuff up, the fundamental stuff, and we got past that and make that come natural and then just rely on our talent, and then we made for a good year. So.
One thing I read about you is that you're a Christian, and I understand. I'm just wondering, how much has that helped you keep calm on and off the field? The reason why I'm asking you is because last winter, your name was mentioned quite a bit in trade talks. How did you keep calm? Because I noticed you weren't angry or anything like that. How did you keep calm?
No. I like to say I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, just because that's another story within itself. But I'm going to tell you, once you finally grasp the idea or the belief in none of this stuff really matters, that you don't play for money, you don't play for World Series championships, you don't play to be famous, you don't play for any of that stuff, then nothing really matters. The only reason I'm here is to do my work that my father's wanted me to do. That's the only reason. And if he wants me to do something next week before the playoffs and go do something else, I'll do it. I mean, when you finally realize that and you finally take a hold of that, everything else is super easy. And you can make it hard upon yourself a lot of times. And sometimes, to be honest with you, you know, this offseason with the trade and stuff, all the talks and rumors, it's very easy to just be like, oh, I don't want to go here, I don't want to go here. So, and then you finally just sit back and say, I'll go wherever he wants me to go. You know, if my time's here done, if my time in Minnesota's done, it's done. If it's not, I'm open arms to go wherever you want me to go. So that's what I always say.
It could happen again this offseason.
Yeah, and it could. I firmly don't think it will. I think I really, really don't. I don't see how there's any way. But at the same time, you never know. So when you just got to have the right mindset. My wife and I do. She's very encouraging and always reminding me that of what we play for. And it's not for anything on this earth. Let me tell you that.
You love Minnesota, don't you?
Absolutely. I love pretty much everything about the organization, the fan base. My wife and I were very comfortable in Minnesota. We're the people. We're from Mississippi. We love slow pace. We love people more than we do other things. And sometimes you get caught up in fame and fortune and all that other stuff, the big picture, the big lights and stuff. But when it's all said and done, we like things that just go pretty smooth and slow, and Minnesota brings that.
Final question. How is it to see Byron Buxton finally flourish?
Yeah, he you know, the thing about Byron is he changes the game. I've never seen anybody in my career change the game as much as he has on a defensive end of a game. He's made our pitching staff so much better just because of the balls he gets to that an average center fielder or even above average center fielder doesn't get to. And I say this every time. He's in a league of their own, a league of his own. The way he separates the game, offense and the defense, is truly remarkable. But also on top of that, him making strides offensively this year, that's the total package. And obviously we'll see how it goes next year, hopefully builds off that. But from top to bottom, him as a player, I don't like to use the word ceiling because that sets a mark to get to. I like to just keep going. You can always get better, but you're going to see some really amazing things in the coming years from him.
Brian Dozier, thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Tommy Pham is my next guest, and he's clearly the MVP of the Cardinals.
On the phone is the MVP of the St. Louis Cardinals. His name is Tommy Pham. He's an outfielder for the club. Tommy, thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
Tommy, you are having your best season to date. And the question is, why?
There's a lot of reasons why. Just from, you know, offensively speaking, I'm striking out less, walking more. And generally speaking, when you do that, you're going to put up better numbers. I would say I found a routine that helps me prepare. You know, this is before the game. That's helped me throughout the season. You know, the situation with my vision. Last season, I explored wearing a different kind of contact called scleros. You know, just from a couple of doctors telling me they thought it would be better for me to play in scleros. And, you know, come to find out, it actually did the opposite.
Wow.
And the only reason why I stuck with the sclero lenses so long in the season is because, you know, it cost me a lot of money. It's something that insurance didn't pick up. And, wow. You know, it was a pretty big financial investment for me.
Right.
So there's a lot of credit, you know, to just me going back to, you know, the lenses I wore throughout the minors and my first year in pro ball. I mean, I'm sorry, in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably the biggest reason. I still feel like there are a lot of areas in my game that I can really improve. And, you know, that drives me just as much. You know, I know I could become a better defender, base runner, base stealer, and a better hitter. I'm just trying to put this all together.
Now, what's so interesting is that, you know, you talked about the degenerative left eye. Now, how did you, stay positive with all that? I mean, like, most people would be down, but you stayed positive. Who helped you stay positive?
Well, my eye condition, I should say, the eye docs and myself, we caught it in its early stages. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and had this surgery to stabilize it from getting any worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the only reason why I'm able to play this game at, you know, at this level, is because, you know, my eye condition, it's not a good condition to have, but with that said, my condition is in the, it's not one of the worst keratoconic situations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my right eye uncorrected is, I have pretty good vision uncorrected with my right eye, and my left eye, you know, I just found out it's not so bad as well.
Wow. Wow.
But the condition, it just throws a nice little X factor to it, you know, and it kind of scares people. But it's not as bad as it's perceived for me.
Right. Right. But, you know, I tell you this, though, of all the stats you put up this year, what's the one that you're most proud of?
You know, I'm most proud of offensively, you know, the OPS, you know, mm-hmm. because I always wanted to achieve a 900 plus OPS
right.
in the big leagues. You know, that's something I shot for in the minor leagues, and I said I wanted to do in the minor leagues. And, you know, here it is. I'm doing it. And I believe the OPS is a true measure of a hitter's production. You know, it tells you if a hitter's getting on base, and it tells you if the hitter's driving the ball. And, you know, I'm most proud of that right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from playing this year and starting to understand my swing a little bit more, I still feel like I could be better. And, you know, it drives me, you know, because I'm searching for that one little thing that's going to be the X factor.
Right. Interesting. Also, something you did this year, you stayed healthy this year. The previous few years, you know, you always faced injuries, but now you stayed healthy. And what'd you do to stay on the field?
Or maybe what didn't I do? You know, I think that's the answer, because I would say I didn't lift as much this season.
Hmm.
And that's really helped me in a sense of, you know, how not going out there playing fatigued or tired or sore or tight, you know, just focusing on the baseball aspect of the game and not, you know, going out there and lifting, you know, three or four times a week like I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just focusing on playing.
You come from a city that produced quite a bit of baseball players, quite a few baseball players, I should say, Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant. And how proud are you that you come from a city, which is Las Vegas, that you've had your share of baseball players?
Well, if anybody knows me, they know how much I love Las Vegas. And with that being said, you know, I'm so happy for my city, because I remember when I was drafted, you know, there was so much negative words said about me being from Las Vegas. Oh, you know, big fish in a small pond, you know, and just to see how Vegas has produced some of the best baseball players year after year, you know, it really makes me happy and proud, you know, to be a Las Vegan.
Mm-hmm. And you knew Bryce Harper back in the day, right?
Yes, I've known him for a long time. You know, I remember when I first saw him, because we hit at the same hitting facility in Las Vegas. And, you know, I might have been only 18, and I was like, who's this high school guy? You know, because that's how big and strong he was at such a young age. And they were like, he's in middle school. And I was like, he's going to be special.
Wow. Interesting.
Very hard worker. He was always in the cages with his dad and, you know, working on his craft at such a young age.
No kidding. Wow. Tommy, who do you credit for your success thus far? Obviously, you've had, mentors. Who do you credit?
There's a lot of answers to that. You know, one big, I would probably say the most influential guy I could say is probably Mark Budaska, our Triple-A hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember last year, you know, as far as my swing, you know, there was a lot going on, and he basically told me I need to incorporate a leg kick. He said incorporating a leg kick will make you, he said, you're a good hitter right now, and incorporating a leg kick will make you even better. And just out of the middle of the season, you know, I'm down in Triple-A struggling, and I started using the leg kick until now. I use this day.
Wow.
And it's really helped with the sequence of my swing. So I would say, you know, him making me be uncomfortable and incorporating a change in my swing has really paid huge dividends for me.
That's great. And, you know, the Cardinals are mathematically still in the wild card race. And tell me your feelings about that. You know, you still have a shot, but talk about it.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know, and I was kind of spoiled coming up. You know, my first year, 2014, we made playoffs. 2015, we made playoffs again. And here, you know, last year we didn't make playoffs, of course. So, you know, I was spoiled with always playing on winning teams, mm-hmm. and even coming up in the minors, you know, I played for winning teams. And this situation, it's a little different because, you know, here we are, we're fighting to get into the playoffs when all I've ever been a part of is a winning
right.
culture. So it's a little different, but, you know, I'm just trying to do my part, you know, to help us win, so that I could get, or I should say, so that we could get back into the playoffs.
Right.
There's nothing like October baseball.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Tommy Pham, listen, thank you so much for being on the show, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I saw Manny Machado recently, and I got to tell you, he is really happy for his pal Jonathan Scope, who's having his best year of his big league career. Manny Machado, thank you so much for being on the show. Manny, I noticed this morning you're working hard, trying to get better with your hitting. You're having a hell of a season. Talk about this year, and you're off to a slow start, but you worked your butt off, and you're having you put up great numbers.
Well, you know, it's all about working. You know, you can never stop working. You can never stop learning in this game. And that's something that all the veteran guys that I've been around and that have tried to help me, you know, with something. You know, this game is all about adjustments. And, you know, guys who have played 20 years in the show, you know, they never stop learning to the end of their career. Even after their career, they keep learning. So, you know, the only thing we can control is going out there working hard and, you know, doing the little things that count, because at the end of the day, you know, we can't control how many hits we get out there, or, you know, if we win, or if we get opportunities to get RBIs, or, you know, if you're able to get on base. I mean, those are things that are uncontrollable. So, you know, we come in here and we work, and, you know, we try to get better every day.
What have you done to put up respectable numbers? So what did you do from the first half to the second half to get better?
Just make little adjustments, you know, staying with your approach, staying with your, you know, with your strengths. You know, just trying to stay myself. Don't try to overdo. You know, I mean, just play the game. You know, whatever the game brings you, whatever the opportunity is out there. You know, run out second base, get the guy over. You know, just play baseball. I mean, I think that was the biggest key to it. You know, early on, you know, you get into a situation, you see guys on base. You know, you want to drive them all in. You know, sometimes it's sometimes you can't go out there and just be selfish and try to drive them in with a home run. You gotta go in there and, you know, just try to get the guy over, hit a ground ball to second base. And I think once you start doing that, you know, you hit a ground ball the first time to second base. The second time, you hit a line drive. You know, and the third time you're driving it into the gap. You know, and those runs will, you know, eventually start playing, you know, creeping up on you. And you know, when you play the game, you know, the game's going to reward you.
Also, I learned from Jonathan Scope today that he said you're his best friend. And I'd like to know how proud of you are you of him, because he's having his best season.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, seeing him throughout the years, you know, we've been up here for 4 years now. And
Together.
And, you know, we played together in the minors. Mm-hmm. See him grow as a hitter, see him grow as a player, see him grow as a human being. I mean, it's been unbelievable. You know, see the season that he's having. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always knew it was in there. You know, it was just a matter of time. You know, I think he put in a lot of work that people don't understand how much work he's put into his hitting. Yeah, I mean, it's been unbelievable. Him and Cool Ball have been working, you know, since, you know, I saw it 2 years ago coming. You know, I mean, he wanted to get better. He wanted to become a better hitter. He wanted to become more of an average hitter. Was his goal, and then every year he comes in with a goal. You know, I want to hit more homers. I want to hit, you know, better with runners in scoring position. I want to
take more walks. I want to see more pitches. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when you set yourself some goals like that, like how he's been doing, you know, success will come out of it. You know, you just can't go out there and say, you know, I want to hit 300. I want to hit 30 bombs. I want to drive in 120 runs. I mean, those are amazing goals, but sometimes you got to be realistic with yourself. Like, what can you improve with yourself? And I see that as him every year, he wants to improve at something, you know, whether it's defense, whether it's offense. And, you know, that's why he's having the monster year that he's having. And, you know, I think he's our MVP. I think he's the MVP of the league. I mean, he's been doing it all year. He's been carrying this team.
No question.
I mean, it's just, I'm beyond excited. I'm beyond happy. And I'm just grateful to, you know, be a part of it and, you know, see him grow as a player.
When you hear he's one of three middle infielders in Orioles history to hit 30 homers, driving 100, I mean, he joins Cal Ripken and Miguel Tejada. One of three.
I mean, I saw it there. He had raw talent, you know. He was just going out there having fun playing the game. He really didn't put mind into hitting. He didn't put mind into, you know, playing the game. Mm-hmm. And you know, him and Cuba, I mean, they worked their butts off. I mean, every day just trying to get better, doing drills, playing my games, you know, setting short-term goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy, the little things that people don't see out there, that we work, how hard we work in here. And, you know, he's been doing it. That's why things have been working out. That's why he's one of the three. And, you know, he's going to continue to be as good as he is. This is just the beginning.
Manny, to my surprise, the Orioles have been slumping lately. I'm kind of shocked by it because you guys have the hitting, no question about it. And obviously, the pitching has not been there. And how disappointing is that? You're still mathematically in the wild card race, but how disappointing is it?
I mean, it is. It is what it is. I mean, it's part of the game. You know, we know what we had here, and things just haven't been turning out how they're supposed to. You know, we can't blame it on anything. You know, our pitching's been doing well. We don't hit. You know, and we hit, our pitching doesn't do well. I mean, it's vice versa. It's just a team sport that we just haven't been able to click. And you know, we're gonna keep fighting. You know, we're gonna keep you know, doing as much as we can to try to get to where we want to be. And you know, I know we know it's a long shot to get, you know, to the playoffs this year, but you know, we're not gonna stop fighting until that last out, until that last game of the season is you know, over with.
Manny, final question. Everyone keeps talking about your future here. They've been talking about it all year long. And I believe you're a free agent after 2018. That's correct. And what are your plans? Do you want to stay here or do you want to move on?
You know what? This is the organization I came up with, the organization I play with. You know, this is the only thing I know. You know, I bleed orange. And, you know, I mean, I'd love to stay here. You know, the chance occurs, but you know, those are things that we can't control. You know, I go out there and play baseball and do what I can to, you know, be the best player I can, be the best teammate I could be, possibly be. And you know, let the other things just fall into place. You know, if I'm able to stay here or if I get the opportunity to go and see you know, the free agent market. You know, I mean, those are just things that you know, I really haven't even put into mind. And you know, I just try to play it as is, you know. You know, play the game, and you know, like I said before, the game will always repay you, no matter what you do. You know, as long as you go out there and you enjoy and you play as hard as you can, and, you know, things will always turn out, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Manny Machado, thank you so much. My final guest is Jonathan Scope, and he explains why he's having the best year of his big league career. Jonathan Scope, thank you so much for being on the show. First of all, congratulations on a great season, and you're having your best season thus far, and why is that?
Learning experience, you know, trying to get better every year, and thank you for my coaches, my teammates, you know, helping me through my first 2 years, you know, and learning and get better and trying to be better and never sacrifice.
What is the biggest thing you've learned to the point where you're having your best season and, you know, you could be the best second baseman right now?
Learn from your mistake. You know, in this game, you're going to do a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And learn from it and trying to be better. You know, never be satisfied with the thing you do it. And grind it out every day, you know, and play the game hard. The game will reward you.
Are you doing anything differently than you did in the past?
A lot. I do a lot of things differently.
What are you doing?
Routine. I got a routine, you know, go in the cage, work, you know, go to my ground balls and go see what the pitch is trying to do with me, you know, and get the scouting report what the pitch is gonna do with me, and trying to be better and trying to be prepared for it. So achieve, you know, so I'll be better than them today.
Jonathan, do you realize what you've done? You're the third middle infielder to 30 home runs, driving 100 runs in Orioles history. The others are Ripken and Miguel Tejada. Do you realize what you've done?
No, you know, I didn't realize, you know. As a matter, you know, I know I'm having a good season, you know, but, you know, everybody has the same goal, you know, trying to go to playoff and trying to win the World Series. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help my team win, you know. I'm trying to do my best to contribute for my team.
This team is mathematically still in the wild card race, but you haven't been playing well lately. What's the reason for the team not doing well?
To be honest, I don't know. You know, it's baseball. You know, something gonna go to good stress, something gonna go to bad stress. So we're gonna eliminate it. You know, we gotta find a way to win. We gotta find a way to do something to win. You know, because it's coming down.
Yeah, it's coming close. What you gotta do to get better?
Keep going out there and grind it out. You know, go out there and compete and leave them out there, you know. Don't give up and leave them out there, you know. Like, go out there, as soon as the umpire say play ball, leave them out there.
I'd like to know, what made you like the game of baseball? Obviously, it seems like when I look at you out there, you're having fun. What made you like it?
I grew up in a family that played baseball, you know. I got a big brother, 4 years older than me, that signed before me too, you know. And I have a lot of cousins, so we was playing in the backyard. And,
no kidding.
Mm-hmm. And my family play baseball and soccer, so I grew up in a family that likes sports. So I got me no choice to like it too and play with them, you know.
who were your heroes growing up?
You mean like my family?
You found out, I'm talking about baseball players.
Baseball, you know. My big brother, you know.
Your brother?
Yeah, my brother, you know. I grew up watching Andrew Jones, Derek Jeter, all those guys, you know, like. But a big part of my life is the family, you know. My family have been there for me since I was in the minors, since I was a kid. So everything you need them, they're there, you know. And when things bad, they're there. When things good, they're there. So, you know, family is the most important thing.
Do you have a brother who's still in the minor leagues?
Yeah, he's with us in AAA.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. What's his name?
Charlotte.
And how much has he helped you?
Well, he helped me a lot, you know, because he was there before me, you know, teaching what I can expect, what I got to do, you know. He was there before me, so I was grateful to have him go before me and teach me the right way to do it.
What would it be like to play with him in the major leagues?
The best, you know. That's a dream come true. Mm-hmm. That's one of the goals that I want to, you know.
No kidding.
Personal goal, that's the one I want to play with my brother in the big league.
No kidding. Talk about you know, your parents. Talk about how much they really helped you.
Everything. It's my parents, you know, like when you're down, they're there to pick you up, you know. When things go really bad, never as bad like you've seen, because they're there, you know, talk with you, you know. And, you know, that's the best. That's the best family, my dad, mom, you know. Perfect, you know, like they call, talk with them, you know, go to see them, you know, come see me, you know, that's the best thing.
Talk about having a friendship with the guys here, with the Orioles.
Those guys is really good, really, really good. So, you know, since I got called up, they treat me like I belong here, you know.
No kidding.
They treat me really good, you know. They guide me, you know. They help me, you know. It was the best, you know. They make you feel comfortable right away, you know, and help you play the game the right way.
Who's your best friend?
In the team?
Yes.
Manny.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I play with him since minor league. Me and him play since low A together coming up. You know, we play every league together. You know, we play low A, I, and double A together. So me and him create a good friendship. You know, I know his family, you know my family. And, you know, we're really close friends right now.
You made the All-Star team this year. Tell me what that was like, first time.
Yes, that was the best, you know. One of the personal goals that you want to, you know, sometimes you wanna win a good glove, you wanna win the Sligger Slava, you wanna go to All-Star, you know. It was one of the best experiences in my life, you know. Go in there, see the chemistry, you know, and see the guys that you play against them, you know, talk with them and have fun over there.
You might get all those awards, the Silver Slugger, the Gold Glove. You might get that this year.
I hope so, you know. Like, that's why I'm going there and leave them out there, you know. And I'm not thinking about, like, the award right now, you know. Like, after the season's over, you know, I wish we can be in the playoff. You know, that's the goal, you know, for being in the playoff, and the award come next, you know.
Jonathan Scope, thank you so much.